Okay, we're going to start here at the top of Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara is continuing to analyze the statement of Amar Ula Amar Shlokish that we saw yesterday, Tamei Sheikh Nisi Adol Lifnim Lokeh. The Tamei that moves his hand inside the Mikdash gets Malkot because of the Pasuk B'chol Kodesh Lo Tigan. So Tamei Kishbiyal in the Giha. Says that Bia and Igiya B'Hakesh from the Pasuk of B'chol Kodesh Lo Tigan Vela Mikdash Lo Tavo. There you have Tigan and Tavo. So at Hekesh teaches us, just like Negia, which by definition is Miksat, so too, Biyah b'miksat is Shmei Biyah, and therefore according to Amar Ula Mishlokesh, you would get Malkot for Nichnas b'miksat. If your hands go into the area of the Azara, where it's impermissible when you are Tameh, you would get Malkot. So Gemara says in the second line, Lama Gimel Alf, Lama Misayile. Let's say that this Brito will be a proof to all smichot that were done in the Mikdash, that immediately prior to the shchita, we do the smicha. So that where we saw yesterday, v'samach and v'shachat, that there's a hekesh between samach and shachat, and also the juxtaposition of them in the psukim teaches us that you have to have smicha juxtaposed or next to and shchita together or done all in a sequential order without any gap in between them. We discussed yesterday about the smicha lifnei Hashem, shchita lifnei Hashem. So here we have all smichot that were there. We say take efla smicha shchita. Immediately after smicha, we did shchita chutz mizu, except for this one shaita b'shar nikanor. The only exception to this is the one of smicha that was done in shar nikanor she'ein mitzora yechol ikanes l'sham. Because the problem we have is that we have a mitzora who is tamei, and we're doing his karbanot. What he's doing is a mechusar kippurim. He has to bring three karbanot. One of the karbanot is the asham. From the asham, we place the dam on his behonot, on his thumbs and his big toes, as well as the shemen, and that is what's matir him to come into the azara. Before that point in time, he's unable to come into the azara. So now he's standing in the shar nikanor, which again was not nikdash b'kdushat ha'azara. And since it was not nikdash b'kdushat ha'azara, he was able to enter into the shar nikanor, and the Torah gives him permission to place his behonot and his big toes, his thumbs, into the area of the azara in order to perform this avodah, to do this heter, makshir, that allows him to come into the mikdash. So that's the only exception, because of the problem. If you think that Bia b'miksat is not called Bia l'ayol yodei v'lismoch, why can't you do tekef l'smicha shchita? Why can't you have him put his hands into the azara, do the smicha, and then immediately afterwards do the shchita? The implications from this braita are that the smicha of the mitzvah was done either in shar nikanor or outside the azara, and then the animal was brought into the azara for shchita. So from there, that sounds or supports the position of Ula Meir Shlokish that Bia b'miksat is Shmei Bia. Otherwise, we could accomplish take of the smicha shchita, that immediately after the smicha, there'll be shchita, even with the asham mitzora. The fact that we can't is an indication that the animal must be outside for the smicha, because the mitzora can't put his hands in order to do the smicha.
And his thumbs weren't, but he was...
That wasn't, but that we have a dispensation. The Torah specifically says that he should do that. So that we know, because the Torah says that's the only way we can accomplish what the Torah demands of us. Amram Yosef, I'm Ani. Wait a minute. Do you know who the author of this braita is? Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehudahi. Amar Merchak Tzafon. Wait a minute. We remember back on Daf, that we had the machloket about what is considered to be Tzafon HaMizbeach. Kodshei Kodoshim, and Hashem is one of the Kodshei Kodoshim, has to be Shechted B'Tzafon, has to have a Shechita B'Tzafon. So we had three opinions as to what the Tzafon was. Either it's immediately opposite the Mizbeach, which happens to be the position of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, that is parallel to the Mizbeach. The additional opinion that included the area by the Mizbeach as well as Ben Ulam the Mizbeach. And in the third opinion, that it was also included the Ezrat Yisrael and the Ezrat Kohanim. So our understanding, our assumption until this point was that the opinion that we were following in this Braita was one who says that Tzafon reaches all the way until Sha'ar Nikanor. Because Sha'ar Nikanor was centered, the Sha'ar itself is centered in the Mikdash. That means half the Sha'ar is in the north and half the Sha'ar is in the south. That means if a Mitzorah is standing there in the Shar Nikanor, he stands on the right side of the Shar, on the northern side of the Shar, he can then, if he placed his hands into the Azara, would be able to do Smicha, in what would we consider the northern side of the Mizbeach, and do Tekef L'Smicha Shechita. We say that by the fact that he can't do that, that's an indication that Bia B'Mikzvot Shmei Bion, he can't put his hands in. Gemara says, no, you got it all wrong. You know, this bright is according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda holds that north is only parallel to the Mizbeach. That's only in the area that's opposite the Mizbeach. That means that there's 22 amot distance between Shar Nikanor and the area that's called Safon. That's why it's impossible. Even if he put his hands into the Azara, that still wouldn't help you, because you still wouldn't be in the Safon. You put your hands into the Smicha, you still got to take the animal over to opposite the Mizbeach, 22 amot, over to opposite the Mizbeach, to do Shechita B'Safon. And that's the problem over here. So that's why you can't prove anything about Bia B'Mikzvot here. The possibility is that this is altered by the opinion that Safon is not up against the Shar Nikanor. If that's the case, the problem has nothing to do with Bia B'Mikzvot. It has to do with the distance between Safon and the Shar Nikanor. It says, V'lavi Pishpish, he should make a small opening. On the northern side of the Azara, they should make a small door, a small opening in the wall of the Azara, in order that the Mitzvah could stand on the northern side of the of higher bite. He'll come around to the wall of the Azara. They'll have a doorway there, and he can do a smicha on the northern side. If you say that Bia B'Mikzvot is lo shmei bia, and therefore he could put his hands in. The only problem is we have a technical problem here, that there's a gap between Shar Nikanor and the Tzafon. So what you should do is have a little doorway on this northern side. Then you got rid of the technical problem. He could stick his hands in, do the smicha on the northern side opposite Mizbeach, and then he could immediately do the shechita. They can immediately do the shechita, and then you have to take off the smicha shechita. You have that little hole that they can stick their hands through and do the smicha. It'd be great. Why can't you do that? So when it says, "Abay v'rav v'damri tavayo kol bichtav miyad Hashem alay hiskil kol melechet ha-tavnit." So there were a blueprint. Hashem gave the Navi, gave David HaMelech a blueprint about the Beit HaMikdash. The blueprint of the Beit HaMikdash tells you exactly how many doorways there are in the Azara, the layout of the Mikdash. And based on that, you're unable to change the layout, the blueprint that is given from Hashem. The divine blueprint cannot be changed. Humans can't intervene and change around the way the Azara is laid out, but the doorways to the Azara. So that's the problem here. Now what's interesting is that this pasuk is written by the Beit Rishon, even though we're here, we're possibly in most of the Breitot, and what we're speaking about in the time of Beit Sheni. So you'd have to say that the same applies to Beit Sheni, which we have seen in other places, that the Nevi'im that came back with the Klal Yisrael from Bavel gave them indications about where to put the Mikdash, where to put the Mizbeach, where the Aron should be. And they gave them all that information, that it was Miyad Hashem. And number two is we have to also suggest that Herod, when he later on renovated the Mikdash, at least kept portions of the Mikdash in place that were required. I mean, he might expand it, which he did, Har HaBayit, but the Mikdash itself, whatever he did to expand it, he had to maintain a certain amount of integrity to the original plan because of this, Akol Bichtav Miyad Hashem. This idea that the blueprint that Hashem gives cannot be altered or changed. Even though, we learned this together, that there is a possibility of Mosifim Aleir V'Lazarot. There is a ceremony which we discussed about the ability to add on to the Azarot and on to the year. So, to the city itself. So Rashi Tosfos over here says, yes, that's only when we have a pasuk that bolsters that position. If we find a pasuk that suggests that it's a reason or incentive for changing it, then we're allowed to change it. You can't willy-nilly change the Mikdash or the layout. The Mikdash, you have to have a good reason as well as some support from the psukim to do such. Okay, Idamre. So does it say, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Kol HaSomech Rosho V'Rubo Machnis. No. So this is the problem. The problem is that he's going to have to do smicha. And when he does smicha, it's not just your hands. It's Rosho V'Rubo. His head and his entire, both of his body is going to enter into the Mikdash. Your suggestion until this point in time is we can solve the problem by just having him put his hands in. And you have Bia B'Mikzvot and now solve the problem with smicha. That's not true. Rav Yosef says, I'll tell you the problem with this, and that's the problem with this Breito, is that, God bless you, that smicha does not just require hands. It requires Rosho V'Rubo, my timer. Why do you have to put just, why do you have to, if your smicha is with your hands, why do you need your body and your head in there? Kol Kocho B'Inan. We need all of his strength. He needs endure smicha. Smicha is not simply you place your hands on the animal. You have to lean with all your strength onto the animal in order to do smicha. Hilkach lo efshar. Therefore, it's impossible. It's impossible to do smicha simply with having your hands in there. You have your hands, then you have to have your hands in, plus your entire body in there. That's no longer bia b'miksat. That's bia into the mikdash. That's actually entering in the mikdash, to the azara. If you do that, then you're in violation of a chiyuv karet. That you cannot do. So that's the solution to the problem here. The reason it's not a support to Ula Marish Lokish is because the Braita is talking about smicha, and by smicha, there's a requirement of entering, physically entering into the mikdash. So Gemara says, Micah suffer. What does Rav Yosef really hold over here? Ika savar smicha tasham mitzora deoraita. The smicha that is required for the Hashem mitzora, that's min haTorah. V'tekev the smicha shchita deoraita. The necessity of having the shchita immediately after the smicha, also deoraita min haTorah. Then leu v'lismach lehetcha derachmanu amar. Then go ahead and go in. What's the problem? Just like before David, you asked me, oh wait, what about the thumbs and the big toes? Well, the Torah gives him that dispensation. The Torah says, this is how the process of Tarat Mitzorah requires that he puts his thumbs and his big toes into the Azara. Well, if the Torah says to you, do smicha in an Hashem Mitzorah, it says you must do the smicha immediately before the Shechita. You know what the Torah is telling you? Go into the Azara, even as a Mitzorah. That's already permitting you, it's giving you the right to go in, because Eifshar be'inyin acher. There's no other way to do it. And since there's no any way to do it, in order to mekayim the mitzvah smicha, as well as the mitzvah of teichel the smicha shchita, you would have to enter into the Azara, and it should be permitted. Which what David asks is, okay, then why don't we say that before also? If the only way to do it is putting your hands in, then go ahead and put your hands in. So Gemara says, Amar, so that's another, the next solution. So Amar Ramad, 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 Gzeir Hashem, Ayir Beb Sealed. Even though Min haTorah, it might be permissible to enter into the Mikdash, because of this dispensation, which says, if you can't do it any other way, go in. What are we worried about? We're worried about that he's not going to do exactly what he needs. He'll go, yeah, he'll take a little walk. He'll walk an extra couple steps towards the Mizbeach. It's a problem. He's Tameh. He's a Tameh. He's a Mitzorah who's Tameh. He's going to enter in and go closer to the Mizbeach, something that is impermissible. So that's why Gzeir Hashem Yirbe B'Psiot. Midor right, Enoch and Ami could go in. Midor Abonon, he's restricted. Igad Amre. Other possibility is Amravada Bermatno, Smichat Hashem Mitzorah Deo Raita. Smicha on the Hashem Mitzorah, that's a din d'oraita. Take off the smicha shchita, lav d'oraita. Having them immediately after each other is not a din d'oraita. So that gets rid of the problem. So if you don't say, take off the smicha shchita is d'oraita, it's only a din d'rabbanan or ismachta min akra, then you can't say there's a dispensation from the Torah to enter into the mikdash. That's just not true. Because the Torah only requires smicha. It doesn't require that the smicha be done immediately before the shchita. Do it outside in Shar Nikanor, and then enter the animal in afterwards. And therefore, you won't have any you do exactly what the Torah requires. You may not be able to do what the Rabban requires, but you'll be able to do what the Torah requires. So there's no dispensation to enter into the Mikdash. And that's why the Mitzorah can't enter over here. In order to do Smicha, you'd have to not just put his hands in, you have to put his whole body in. So again, not a proof to Ulam Reish Lakish, because in order to do Smicha, you have to enter your whole body. Why can't you enter your whole body? Because that's not a Din Doraisa. Doing Smicha, take up the Shechita, is not a Din Doraisa, so we're not going to let you put it in. Or, what you're going to see in a second, the other possibility, because the Gemara is going to challenge this, is Meitave. V'samach v'shechat. Matzmicha b'torim, afshchita b'torim. This is the bright that we brought yesterday. That there's a smicha v'shchita are juxtaposed in the Perak Aleph in Vayikra. And it says, v'samach v'shechat, matzmicha b'torim, afshchita b'torim, shall we learn? V'yamark lav d'araita, b'tmeimim namishkachada. If you tell me that smicha v'shchita, matzmicha b'torim, afshchita b'torim, that may not be true. Because if you say that there's no requirement of tekef, the smicha shchita, then you could also have tmeim do the smicha. Because they could be outside doing the smicha, and then you do the shchita on the inside. How do you know that smicha can only be done bit tehorim? The only way smicha can only be done b'torim is if you say it's lifnei Hashem. There's a requirement of the smicha to be lifnei Hashem. And that comes from the fact, why do you have to do smicha lifnei Hashem? Because it's tekef l'shchita. That's Rashi's reasoning, at least. And yesterday's daf, it's a three-way machlokas rishonim about why smicha has to be done lifnei Hashem. But at least, according to Rashi's chat, the reason you have to have smicha lifnei Hashem, which would be the requirement for Torim, is because shchita is lifnei Hashem. And since you're doing smicha and shchita together, that's why the smicha has to be lifnei Hashem. If that's the case, then that must mean that Tekev's Micha Shechita is a din d'oraita. So Gemara says, okay, Ela Ipuch. Flip it around, which one we change? Smicha Hashem Mitzorah, lav d'oraita. The smicha and Hashem Mitzorah is not min Torah. Tekev's Micha Shechita is d'oraita. So you do. We want you min Torah to do smicha immediately before Shechita. The one exception to this rule is Hashem Mitzorah, because Hashem Mitzorah, the smicha on Hashem Mitzorah is only a din d'rabbanan, or a smachta b'yama, not a din d'oraita. It's different than any other Hashemot. Every other Hashem requires smicha, but the Hashem Mitzorah does not require smicha.
So why do I have to allow even the thumbs in?
No, that's not for smicha. That's for the din of the matan dam and the dam shem. It's totally independent. What's the difference? Why would you ever think that every Hashem requires smicha and Hashem Mitzorah does not? So Rashi gives a reasoning behind that. Rashi says, Kasavar, Sheinu bichlal Hashemot, Sheinu bai lahakshir. The Hashem Mitzorah is different than other Hashemot. Other Hashemot are brought for chait and to be mechaper. Therefore, they require smicha. The Hashem Mitzorah is brought as a matir, to be machshir, his ability to enter into the Mikdash and eat Kodesh. So that's why it will not require smicha. The difference in them is because of whether it comes for kapara or it comes for hechsher. The Rashi explains to us what that reasoning is. So now Tosus happens to question Rashi's logic. It says, kachatat ka'asham. How do we know that the Hashem gets smicha? It's because of the pasuk says kechatat kasham. Kechatat kasham teaches you just like a chatat gets smicha, so too the Hashem gets smicha. And the Gemara says that even by the Hashem Mitzorah, Gemara brings it by the Hashem Mitzorah as well, kechatat kasham, and therefore it should be Hashem Mitzorah should be included. Tosfos doesn't have an answer about why there should be a difference, but the Gemara just speculates that there will be such a difference. To summarize what we've seen until now, the Gemara started out trying to bring a proof to Ulam Reish Lakish that Bia B'miksat Shmei Bia, because the fact that the Hashem Mitzorah cannot be done Tekev L'smicha Shechita indicates to you that you can't put your hands in. If you can put your hands in, then you would be able to do Tekev L'smicha Shechita. The fact that you can't put your hands in is why it's the exception to the rule. The Gemara says no. The Gemara gives a number of reasons why and shows you how we can answer this Braita without proving that Bia B'miksat Milosh Shmei Bia. So one possibility is the author of this Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi B'Rabbi Yehuda, who says Tzafon is nowhere near the Shaar Nikanor. If that's the case, he can't do Tekev L'smicha Shechita even if he puts his hands in. The second answer is given by Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef says, listen, smicha requires not just your hands, it requires your whole body in there. If you're going to get your whole body in there, we're no longer talking about Bia B'miksat, we're talking about Bia Kulo. Bia Kulo, nobody says is Muteret. The Gemara says, wait, if the only way to do smicha is to put your whole body in, and the Torah says do smicha, and take of the smicha shchita, then do it. For that, we had two answers to that question. Of course, you can eliminate one of the two. The first answer was that take of the smicha shchita is not d'oraita, and therefore we don't have an exception here. There's no dispensation to enter in. Or the other possibility, which is the second answer, is that smicha and Hashem Mitzorah is not mid'oraita, and therefore there's no dispensation. If there's no dispensation, and you require Rosh HaBerubo to be inside, we're not going to let you do that in this instance. The one other possibility, which was suggested by Rav Abba, is that Gzera Shema Yirib Sealed. Eino Chanami Midoraita, he could have entered. But there's a Gzera Derabana that says, don't enter over here. But all these answers say that Bia B'miksat, Lo Shmei Bia, you could have put your hands in. But putting your hands in will not solve the problem. Either requires, because we require your whole body to be in there to do smicha, or because it's too far away for you to do the smicha and the shechita. That's where we are in the Gemara. Now, the Gemara, when you turn over the Amud, gives two other answers, not to what we're speaking about today, but about yesterday's daf. On yesterday's daf, we had the statement of Ulam Reish Lakish, and we brought a problem to the statement from a Braita about Mitzorah. A Mitzorah on the eighth day, on Erev Pesach, who saw was a Balkari on that day. So what was the din there? We said, wow, that Braita is a stira to Ulam Reish Lakish. Because over there it sounds like he can be Metaher himself, because we said, Yavo Asay Sheesh Bo Karet, and override the Asay Shein Bo Karet. But if you believe Bia B'miksat Shmei Bia, then there's also an Asay the Karet for him to put his hands in to do the Avodah. What did we answer yesterday? We answered yesterday, according to Ula, that Shiny Mitzorah, Ho Vehutar Michlalo. Since there's a heter to put his thumbs and toes in, Hutar the Kerio. That also happened for his carry. Today we have Ravina who says no. Ravina says, I'll explain to you why there's no steer between the Reish Lakish, Ula Reish Lakish, and the Breita. The Inyan Malkut Itmar. His statement about the hekesh between Bia and Negia is only in the Gabe Malkot, that you will get Malkot, not the Indian Karet. So in that case, comes from Bia to Negia, that's Lazara, to teach you there's a lot, but not to teach you Karet. Therefore, there'll be no steerer between him and the Breita. He says, if you do Bevitzah, you violate a lav. That's all it. There's one lav. It's an Iser lav. But it's not an Iser Karet. If it's not an Iser Karet, then we don't have a question from the Breita. Tosfos on the answer of Rabbi Amar Bo, that the pasuk of Kol Kodesh Lo Tigah is talking about a lav, actually asks a question that brings up a fundamental position with regards to Tosfos. I'm going to just mention it here. It's more, we can go more in depth when we reach in the Gemara and Chulin, where Tosfos there speaks about it in more in depth, but I just want to bring it up, your attention to it. Over here, Tosfos says, even if you say it's an Iser lav, why does that help you over here? We have an assay of Karet, the assay of Pesach, and now you're trying to overcome an assay and a lav. We know that maybe an assay can be docha lav. An assay being docha another assay, that might even be questionable. But certainly we don't believe that an assay can be docha both an assay of the shluach of the tmeim michutz lemachaneh, as well as here a lav of negiat kodesh. So why should it be, in our case over here, even if you believe b'chol kodesh lo tigah is a lav, now you have an assay that's docha both a assay and a lav. Tosfos posits over here that maybe an assay of karet is different. That the assay associated with Karet, that's with the Karban of Pesach, might be more powerful. It's more powerful in the sense that it can overcome not only and the other assay, but in the lab as well, or not only in the lab, but as well as the assay. It can overcome both an assay and a lab because it's an assay of Karet. This idea in Tosfos that it's not always equal, when we say assay doche lot assay, but assay is not doche lot assay via assay, Tosfos discusses in other places, what does it mean that assay is not doche and assay and a lot assay? Does it mean that the assay is doche the lot assay? It just can't come overcome the assay, so the assay remains. Or when we say an assay is not doche and assay and a lot assay, that means that the assay has no power over the lav. The lav is still there, and as well as the assay, because it doesn't have the strength to overcome them. And that might have to do with differences in the strength of the assay, as well as the weaknesses in the lav. If the assay is super strong, like in our case, where it's an assay of karet, it might have the power to overcome both the lot assay and the assay. Whereas in cases where we have what's called lav she'eno shaveh b'kol, in instances we're talking about a lav or an assay that only applies to kohanim, only applies to men, not to women, certain lavim that are not applicable to all people, maybe in that case a regular assay can come overcome the lot assay and the assay because they are weaker. So this fundamental position Tosfos raises over here, this idea that when we say assay docha lot assay, but assay is not docha an assay and a lot assay, that may not always be true. Number one, it might still be docha the lav and not the assay. And therefore, in instances where the assay is an assay of karet, it can override the other assay. And the other way around, sometimes just a regular assay can be docha the lav. And maybe even the assay, where the assay and the lav are weaker forms of an assay and a lav, where it's a lav she'enu shaveh b'kol. An iser that's not shaveh b'kol. So this idea is brought up in Tosfos and other places. We'll discuss it when we reach the Tosafot, to discuss it with regards to lavin, and discuss it with regards to the power of an assay, that assay chamur, an assay karet. Just want to raise it over here, because Tosfos raises it, and he mentions it, makes this point over here, the idea that an assay with karet might be different than a regular assay, and therefore have the power to overcome an assay and a lav. The last answer is brought by Rabbi Bo, Linyan Tamei Shenaga B'Kodesh Itmar. Rabbi Bo says, you know what? Rish Lakish never said that. Rish Lakish never said, B'Chol Kodesh Lo Tigah is an Isra Lav Rabbi Mikzat. You know why? Because that's not what he uses it for. Rish Lakish believes that Tamei, a person who has Tumat Guf, that touches Kodesh, violates a Lav. You know what that Lav is? B'Chol Kodesh Lo Tigah. And that's what he uses it for. So if you look here, I brought you on the chart here, on the page one of the chart. Just laid out. We start out with a pasuk, which is B'chol Kodesh Lo Tigah, V'le Mikdash Lo Tavo, where we have a hekesh between Negiat HaKodesh and Biat HaKodesh. And just like Negiat HaKodesh B'Mikzat is problematic, so too Biat HaKodesh B'Mikzat is problematic. So now we have Ulam Reish Lakish, who says that Tamei Sheikhnis Yadol Lifnim Lokeh, that's the conclusion from this pasuk. On the other hand, we just saw Rabban Amar Rabo, who says it has nothing to do with it. That the B'chol Kodesh Lo Tigah is a different sugya whatsoever. There, Reish Lakish believes that it's about someone, a Tamei Sheinagah B'Kodesh is Chayav Lav. And that's where Rabbi Reish Lakish over there says Lokeh, as opposed to Rabbi Yochanan, who says Eino Lokeh, which we're going to see in a second. That's what the Gemara is going to roll into now. But then we had a problem, which is we have a Braita about Mitzorah Shechal Shemini Shelo Be'er Pesach. and he sees Keri. There's a stira from the Breita. How do we reconcile the stira? So Rav and Amar Bel, there's no problem because there's no stira. He thinks Reish Lakish never said it. But the other possibility of reconciling is Ula, which we said before. Ula's answer was Shani Mitzora. Hoel v'huta michalo huter le Kerio. Ravina offers a different option, that the Breita is talking about Karet, and Ula Reish Lakish is talking about Malkot. So that's why there's no stira between the Breita. There's no stira and the Breita because they're not talking about different things. Ula Reish Lakish is dealing with Malkot, the Breita is dealing with Karet, and they can be reconciled. And if you remember from yesterday's daf, when we said Ula Shani Mitzora, Ho V'Huta Nichlo Utul Kerio, that's only according to Abaye. Abaye says when you have Hutra, that's a bigger reason to be matir and other things. According to Ravel, who thinks the odd logic is just the opposite, he thinks Bichuya is more reason to be matir than the Hutra, then the answer of Ula won't work according to Ravel. It only works according to Abaye, not according to Ravel. The logic behind Rava's position is that when it comes to Hutra, Hutra is a Gzeret HaKatuv. Gzeret HaKatuv says that the Isra does not exist. And Dechuya is evidence of the fact that you have a Stira, you have a competition between two items, and one of them overcame. So if we have Dechuya, we should be able to extend that to other items, because if it overcomes in this instance, it should help overcome in the other instance. When it comes to Hutra, which is a Gzeret HaKatuv, you can't extend a Gzeret HaKatuv to other applications or other Inyanei Tuma. So that's where we are in the Gemara. The Gemara now is going to launch into the Machloket between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. This is a Machloket that we saw in Makot Yudalit. In Makot Yudalit, we had this Machloket, and I have for you on the second page a chart of their opinions, which the Gemara is going to run through a lot of these opinions here. The differences in opinions between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan here, with over a range of Halachot. We'll only get to a couple of them today. Tomorrow, the first Amud tomorrow, gets to the residual of those that you have in the chart. So you save it for tomorrow and we'll use it again tomorrow. I'm going to say a third line down again on the Amud Bet. The Itmar. Tamei Shinagaba Kodesh. Someone who is Tamei Tamata Guf that touches Kodesh. Reish Lakish Amar Lokeh. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Eino Lokeh. Reish Lakish Amar Lokeh. Reish Lakish says you get Makot Bechol Kodesh Lotiga. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Eino Lokeh. Hau Bitruma Ktiv. Bechol Kodesh Lotiga, according to Reish Lakish, is a lav that you shouldn't touch Kodesh. You touch Kodesh, you violated a lav, and therefore you're going to get to Malkot. According to Rabbi Yochanan, there is no such lav. Because Rabbi Yochanan loses that for what we call Negiat Truma. So if you look on the chart, in the top box, it's Tamei Shinagaba Kodesh. The Azara comes from Bechol Kodesh Lotiga, according to Reish Lakish, and that's why you get Malkot. Rabbi Yochanan has no lav, and therefore you get no Malkot. Look at the third to last box, Negiat Truma. According to Rabbi Yochanan, Bechol Kodesh Lotiga teaches me about Truma, that there's a lav by Truma, and therefore Negiat Truma would be Malkot. If you look in Tosafot, in Malkot Yudal Ramaf, he says you can't get Malkot. There's no way that it could be, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that it'd be more Chamor. Truma, Negiat Truma would get Malkot, and Negiat Kodesh, according to Rabbi Yochanan, would not get Malkot. So therefore he says there's a lav, but no Malkot. That's what Tosaf says in Malkot, just to make the logic makes sense. But why would Rabbi Yochanan say that? Why would Rabbi Yochanan ever say that the Pasuk here is talking about Truma? So if you look on the other side of the page, I brought you the Pasuk is from Parsha Tazria by a woman. It's in Vayikra Yud Bet. Pasuk Dal. It says, Shloshim Yom, Shloshim Yitishay B'dmei Tara, B'chol Kodesh Lotiga, V'lo Migdash Lotiva, Ad Melot Yimei Tara. Until she finishes her days of Tara. And we know a woman, after she gives birth, for the first 7 days by Zachar, she's Tmeya. For the first 14 days by Nekeva, she's Tmeya. On the 14th or 7th day, she goes to the mikveh. Then for a male, for the subsequent 33 days, she is Tehora. And for a Nekeva, for the subsequent 66 days, she is Tehora. She is what we call a Tvul Yom Aruch. She is gone to the mikveh, she's a Tvul Yom. And when the sun sets on the 40th day or the 80th day, 40th day for Zachar, 80th day for Nekeva, she will become automatically Tohura. Well now, let's think about this. A Yoledet has, number one, she goes to the mikveh. Number two is she has Harav Shemesh on the 40th or 80th day. She also has to bring Korban Yoledet. That means in order for a Yoledet to be permissible in Kodshim, whether to touch them, eat them, or enter the Mikdash, she has to bring her korbanot, because she is mechuser kuperim. That means when this pasuk over here says Aj Melot Yimei Tara, that is soon she can't touch anything until the sun sets on the 40th day and the 80th day. What is mutar with Harav Shemesh? Well, you know, well, Harav Shemesh, you're mutar to eat truma. It's the first Mishnah in Brachot. First Mishnah says, Achi chansu kohanim lachol betrumatan. What is that? That's after Shkia. After Shkia, the kohanim are mutar to eat their truma, because if they were tamei, they went to the mikveh, they have Harav Shemesh, they're tahor to eat. That means that this woman, it says here that she automatically does not have a problem with negiat kodesh, when the sun sets on the 40th day or the 80th day. That can only be true by truma, not by kodesh. If it's kodesh, you have to wait after the karbanot. The fact that the pasuk says she's ready right away, abdi malot, she made tara, as soon as her days are over, she's ready, tells you that the pasuk is talking about truma and not kodesh. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan says, b'chol kodesh l'tika, is a reference to truma. For Reish Lakish, I crawl a hachi hudata. Reish Lakish really uses b'chol kodesh l'tika to teach you that you get malchut when you teach kodesh. Di haimi baile azhara l'ochel basar kodesh. He needs that for an azhara, for the warning of eating basar kodesh. For tamei sha'achal kodesh. So he says, azhara l'ochel basar kodesh. Where is the lav that one, a tamei, may not consume kodesh? Reish Lakish amar b'chol kodesh lo tiga. He brings this pasuk as the azhara. Rabbi Yochanan amar tani bartla. Atya tumato, tumato bibiat migdash. We learn it out from Gzeir Shabbat of Tumato, Mutumato from Biat Mikdash. Malahalan Anash Vihis here, just like by Biat Mikdash, there's an Onish and there's an Azara. Afghan Anash Vihis here. So too by the Ochel, Tamesha Achal, there's also an Onish and Azara. So one who goes into the Mikdash Tamei, that comes from the Pasuk in Bamidbar, which says, V'lo yitamu et machanehem. In Bamidbar Parak Hei, it says, V'lo yitamu et machanehem. When it comes to the Shiluach, HaTameim min haMachaneh, it says that they should be sent out, V'lo yitamu et machanehem. So they do not, or they are not, mitamei de machanon. If that's the case, we have a laugh. Where's the onesh? The onesh is found in Parshat Chukat in Bamidbar. It says, Kol ager nugea b'meit b'nefesh, hadam asher yamut v'lo yitchata. Someone is tamei and does not become purified. Et mishkan Hashem timei v'nichrita. If he enters into the mishkan, he's mitamei and he gets karet. So therefore we know by biat mikdash, entering to the mikdash, we have a laugh from Perek Hei in Bamidbar. We have a punishment of karet from Chukat in Bamidbar. And over there it says, at the end of that pasuk in Bamidbar in Chukat, it says, et mishkan Hashem timei v'nichrita nefesh ha'im Yisrael ki meidi dalu zorak alav tamei ye otum atobo. Otum atobo. It's the last pasuk here on page 1. Otum atobo. See the word tumato. Then if you look in Vayikra, Perek Zayin says, v'nefesh asher tochal basar mizevach ha'shlamim. A person who consumes this zevach ha'shlamim shalem, asher l'Hashem v'tumato alav. And he is tamei. That means tumato guf, trying to consume a shlamim. V'nichrita. He gets katreit as well. Where's the azhara? That's what we're looking for now. We're searching for the azara, the lav. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan says. Well, you see what it says here? It says bit tumato in this pasuk. And the pasuk in Bamidbar, Perek Yutet, it says tumato, gzeira shava. Just like the punishment of karet over here of tumato, and the punishment by entering into Mikdash as the word tumato by karet, just like by entering into Mikdash there was an azhara and an onish, so too over here there's an azhara and an onish. That is the source for the lav according to Rabbi Yochanan. On the other hand, Reish Lakish says the source for his laugh is b'chol kodesh lo tiga. So now, okay, we know what their positions are, but that presents a problem for us in terms of Reish Lakish's position. Reish Lakish now brought two lavim from the same posuk. He says, first of all, touching kodesh comes from b'chol kodesh lo tiga, and he also brings the same posuk as a source for the fact that there's an azhara by a tamei b'tumat haguf who goes to eat kodesh. How can he have the posuk teaching us an azhara for both of them? Reish Lakish says, no problem. Let's understand, there are two different issues over here. One is that the pasuk in Parashat Tezria starts like this, b'chol kodesh lo tiga, v'la mikdash lo tavo. There's a hekesh between biat mikdash and b'chol kodesh lo tiga. B'chol kodesh lo tiga. When you touch kodesh, even Reish Lakish agrees that you only get malkot, you don't get karet. When you enter into the Mikdash, you get a chiyuv karet if you have tumat haguf. Well, that's where we have a hekesh. The hekesh is Mikdash and Kodesh. It says, v'chol Mikdash lo tavo. It also says, v'chol Kodesh lo tiga. The Gemara wants a case. When is it v'chol Kodesh tiga gets karet? That's only if you say it's talking about achila. If someone has tumat haguf and they eat it, we just saw that in Pasuk Vayikra Perek Zayin, that someone has tumat haguf and consumes a basar shlamim, he gets karet. So the only place you can have, quote unquote, Nigiat Kodesh, that equals Biat Mikdash, is if you're talking about Achila. That means that that pasuk is definitely talking about Achilat Kodesh B'tumat Aguf. That's what Rish Lakish learns. Rish Lakish says, we're talking about Biat Mikdash and Achilat Kodesh. Both of those have a chiyub karet, and that hekish between them tells us that B'chol Kodesh Lo Tiga is speaking about not touching Kodesh, but Achilat Kodesh. So that's why he says the lav is a lav for Tamei She'achal Kodesh. But didn't he just say before that's also for Negiat Kodesh? Well, the Torah could have said, U'b'chol Kodesh lo tochal, U'b'mikdash lo tavo. The fact that it said it, U'b'chol Kodesh lo tiga, even though it was talking about Achila, it used the word maga, that teaches it that also Negiat is a problem. So if you see on my chart, on page 2, the chart over here, you can see that when it comes to Tamei She'naga B'Kodesh, according to Rish Lakish, what's the Azhara? That's B'chol Kodesh Lo Tiga. See, the word Tiga is what teaches us that. Because it said, it could have said, B'chol Kodesh Lo Tochal. The fact that it expresses Tiga teaches us the love. The second box, Tamei She'achal Kodesh, where do we learn that out from? So the Azhara, according to Rish Lakish, we learn out, B'chol Kodesh Lo Tiga, Ela Mikdash Lo Tova, Iptgish, Kodesh V'Mikdash. That teaches us only something with a Chiyuv Karet is spoken about in this pasuk. What is a Chiyuv Karet? Tamei She'achal Kodesh. After Zukat Tamim. So therefore, he'll get the punishment from Perek Zayin in Vayikra, which says, "V'nefesh shetuchav basar mizevach shlemei shel Hashem tumato alav v'nichvita." Rabbi Yochanan will say, "No, I'll tell you where the lav is for that. The lav for that comes from the gzeirah shavah tumato tumato." I agree with you. The punishment comes from Vayikra Zayin, but my lav does not come from b'chol kodesh lo tiga because I use that for truma. Someone who touches truma is problematic. Where do I get my lav, my azara from? The gzeirah shavah of tumato tumato. Just like by mikdash, biyat mikdash, there's an azara and a punishment. So to over here, there's an azara and a punishment. So where it says, Tanya Kavati, the Reish Lakish. We have a brayta that supports this position of Reish Lakish. B'chol kodesh lo tiga, azara lo ochel. That's exactly Reish Lakish's position. Where is the azara for a tamei? Person has tumata guf and eats kodesh, consumes kodesh. B'chol kodesh lo tiga, we have a brayta that says exactly that. How do you know it's talking about achila? Maybe it's talking about nigiyah. We have a hekish in the pasuk. Don't touch kodesh. Don't enter the mikdash. Mikish kodesh the mikdash. There's a hekish between kodesh and mikdash. Ma mikdash davar sheyesh bo nitilat neshama. Just like the mikdash, we're talking about something that involves loss of life. Karet av kodesh davar sheyesh bo nitilat neshama. Also by kodesh, it has to be something that involves loss of life. If you're talking about Nigiyah, Nitil and Shema Mi'ika, nobody suggests that touching Kodesh will land you with Karet. Even according to Reish Lakish, who says it's a lav, you only get Malkot. Ella, B'Achila, we must be talking about Achila. If we're talking about Achilat Kodesh, we're talking about Achilat Kodesh, and that's the Azara. The Azara from this Pasuk is, B'chol Kodesh Lo Tiga, Azara Lo Chel, someone who's Tamei and eats Kodesh, this is the Azara for him. And that supports the position of Reish Lakish over here. Reish Lakish said the Azara comes from the Pasuk, B'chol Kodesh Lo Tiga. And that's what this Brayta is supporting in the position of Reish Lakish. So Mar says, Akate, Mi Baile, wait a minute. You think you use B'chol Kodesh Lo Tiga, now we use it for Ochel Kodesh Bituma. Number two, we used it for Lo Tiga B'Kodesh. He says, well, we use it for something else. L'tamei she'achal basar kodesh lifnei zrika. For tamei that eats basar kodesh before zrikat adam. Ditmar. Tamei she'achal basar kodesh lifnei zrikat adam. Until now, we were talking about a tamei that consumed kodesh after zrikat adam. What about a tamei who eats the basar kodesh before zrikat adam? Reish Lakish amar loke? Reish Lakish amar eno loke. Reish Lakish amar loke. Reish Lakish says, why do you get malkot? It says, b'chol kodesh lo tiga. Loshna lifnei zrika, loshna lachrei zrika. The source for Reish Lakish's malkot by the case of achilat kodesh comes b'chol kodesh lo tiga. In that pasuk, it doesn't differentiate between before zrikat adam or after zrikat adam. It just says any kodesh you should not consume, lo tiga being lo tochal, do not consume any kodesh when you are tamei. So that teaches me it doesn't matter whether it's before zrikat or after zrikat. But Rabbi Yochanan says no. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Eino Loke, you do not get Malkot. You know why? Kedetani Barzala, Atya Tumato, Tumato. Where do we learn it out from? We learn it out from the Gzeir Shava, Tumato, Tumato. Well, where's Tumato found? If you learn out from the Gzeir Shava, Tumato, and Vayikra Zayin, it says, V'nefesh Shotuchav Basar, Mizevach Shlamim, Shal Hashem, Betumato, Elav, V'nichrata, Nefesh Ahi, Me'amel. That when you eat the Basar, Mizevach Shlamim, Bitumah, you get Karet. Well, look at the Pasuk right before that. says a basar shigab chol tamei lo yachel ba'ish yisareif ba basar kol tahor yochal basar. When can the tahor eat the basar? A tahor can only eat the basar after zrikat adam. And the pasuk right afterwards says, well, if you eat it with tumat aguf, you are chayav karet. So the pasuk is teaching in Vayikra Zayin that if a tahor can eat the basar, and pasuk at the end of pasuk yutet, Zayin yutet, the end of pasuk says basar kol tahor yochal basar. Only when the tahor can eat basar is there a chayav karet for someone who is tamei betumat aguf. So the chiyuv karet only applies after zrikat adam. If it only applies after zrikat adam, the whole gzeira shava that Rav Yochanan is bringing only applies la'achar zrikat damim. Only for after zrikat damim, not lifnei zrikat damim. So that's why Rav Yochanan believes there's no malkot over here. But still, now Reish Lakish is used b'chol kodesh lo tigah for three things. The tumato mutumato, when they wrote that chikot of ahul achar zrikat, that gezeira shava is only written after zrikat because of the pasuk of perik zayin in Vayikra, because there we see that only when the tahor can eat the basar is there an iser of someone tumata guf consuming the basar. It says imkain according to Reish Lakish leimakrab bakodesh. It says in the pasuk in Tazria b'chol kodesh lo tiga. It should have just said kodesh lo tiga. Why does it say b'chol? B'chol kodesh, maminatarte, then we can learn two things out of it. That means that we actually have three limudim from that pasuk in b'chol kodesh lo tiga. B'chol kodesh teaches me all kodesh. Whether it's lifnei zrika, whether it's achar zrika, that is a lav for someone who has tumat aguf, who's consuming kodesh, the lav comes from there. Both lifnei zrika, achar zrika, it says b'chol. Ah, what about nigiat kodesh? The Reish Lakish says is love, it gets lo, malkut. That comes from the fact that expressed achila b'lashon nigia. So Reish Lakish will have three things come out of this pasuk, three different azharot. You can see that on the chart here, the first three boxes in the chart, which is tamei shenaga b'kodesh, according to Reish Lakish, the lav comes from b'chol kodesh lo tiga, tiga being instead of achila, and that's why you get malkut. Tamei shachala kodesh lachar zrikat damim, that comes also from b'chol kodesh lo tiga, but that's because itkash kodesh the mikdash, and therefore it's not talking about real nigiyah, it's talking about achila, because it has to be something that has a chiyuv karet associated with it. The third box, tamei shachala kodesh lifnei zrikat damim, that comes from b'chol kodesh lo tiga, from the word b'chol, which tells you both, not just one kodesh, but even before and after the zrikat damim, you'll get malkot. So according to Reish Lakish, tamei shenagav kodesh gets malkot. Tamei she'achal kodesh lifnei zrikat damim also gets malkot. A tamei that consumes it after zrikat damim will get karet. That's the pasuk in Vayikra Zayin, that a person who has tumat aguf and consumes it gets karet. And that's the only case where Rabbi Yochanan agrees. The only case where Rabbi Yochanan agrees is that for someone who has tumat aguf that eats achar zrikat damim, karet. His azhara comes from tumato, tumato. The gzer shava of tumato, tumato. And since tumato, tumato is only speaking la'achar zrikat damim, because the pasuk in Vayikra Zayin Yutet says, a basar, only the tahor eats the basar, is there an isser of karet associated with someone who's tamei nefesh? Therefore, it's achar zrikat damim. Therefore, there's no malkot for lifnei zrikat damim. And for nigiat kodesh, there's no malkot because he says that refers to Truma and not to Kodesh. Okay, we'll stop over here. We'll continue. If you have the chart, we'll continue with it tomorrow about the Machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish.